This is State of Inclusion, a place where we can all come together to safely explore and share our ideas at the intersection of equity, inclusion, and community. I'm Amy Sanders. Welcome. At the heart of any equity and inclusion effort are the people who tirelessly work to make a difference in the world and for the people they serve. Who are these equity warriors? What motivates them? And what even brought them to this work to start with? But even more importantly, what keeps them going in the face of such overwhelming and exhausting work? We'll talk with a few of them, and we'll learn how they're making a difference in their community and what they hope for their next chapter. Today, I'm interviewing Sandra Bullock. That's Sandra Bullock, the original. Sandra works with the Sunbelt Human Advancement Resource. We call it SHARE. It's a local nonprofit here in Greenville, South Carolina. SHARE provides a wide range of services to low and moderate income residents in upstate South Carolina. Sandra's role is the CIRCLES Greenville County Program Coordinator. CIRCLES is a program that works to help lift individuals and families out of poverty. So Sandra, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Well, good morning, Amy, and thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to be part of your podcast. I was born and raised in Iowa, and a lot of people, when I would tell them that, because I'm African-American, would say, there ain't no African-American people in Iowa. And I'd laugh and say, no, when I left, they locked the gate. Now I'm a South Carolinian, and I love it here. I am an only child. I have no siblings. My mom and dad have both passed. My dad died at 36. He was a juvenile diabetic. And then my mom had a stroke in her 40s, but she lived to 70-something, and I used to say to people, oh my God, I'm going to have everything by the time I get 40. I'm going to have, you know, I'm not going to live to make 50. That was how I thought. But God had a plan for me. I realize that now, that he put me on this earth for a reason and a season. And if God blesses me another day, I'll be 75 years old next month. And I'm loving life, having a good time. I'm back working full time. I have 3 grown children, 2 sons and a daughter, 3 grown grandchildren, and 7 great-grands. When I was raised up, I was wild and child because my stepfather was abusive and alcoholic and abused my mother really, really bad. Then, as a teenager, be real candid, I was promiscuous. I got pregnant at 15, had my first child at 16, and actually got out of the house at 17. I couldn't take it anymore. I had my second child. I was almost 18. 4 years later, I had my last child. I turned 21 3 days after he was born. And I said, this is it. I ain't having no more babies with no daddies and no marriage. And I want better for me and my kids. I was on welfare by then, food stamps, Section 8. And food stamps had just come out, people. But I learned to become a survivor. I worked, even though I got welfare. I cleaned houses, I was a maid, a cook, short order cook, worked in nursing homes, washed dishes, you name it, I did it because I knew that I was a single parent and I had to raise my 3 kids. And I didn't want them to have to go through some of the stuff that I had. Got in a program similar to CIRCLES called WIN, Work Incentive Now. It was amazing. I had 2 mentors. I went back and got my GED.
Tell us a little bit about what CIRCLES is and how it
Well,
works.
I learned a lot about it as I volunteered. And what the national, it's about 17 years old. There's 70 chapters in the U.S. and Canada. And we are the first chapter in the state of South Carolina. They're in California, Michigan, Florida. If you go to the website, they're all over. But Scott Miller was and is the founder of CIRCLES, and he had been a social worker for years. And actually, it's really ironic, when I started reading back some of the history, the University of Iowa helped him develop the model for it. And when you look at it, it's like a lot like the WIN program that I was in the 60s, helping people get out of poverty and off of welfare and food stamps and Section 8, trying to get them to 200% of income level, And they do it in a model way that it's a commitment now. It's a commitment to the people in the program, which are called leaders, and to allies who are their mentors. And if the people don't want to change, the leaders, if they don't change their mindset and heart, they're not going to be successful in circles. And they have to know what they want to do and how, and they have to work toward it. They have a national conferences every couple of years where people come from all over the country and talk about their circles program. Some of them are doing some very innovative things. In Utah, they have, God, probably 4 or 5 chapters. They've gotten big money from the state and United Way, and they help people start businesses, go back to school, combination thereof, get better paying jobs. They can bring their children to the sites whatever night they meet.
But Sandra, You've done that here in Greenville too.
Yeah, we're only 4 years old. And actually, I guess we've done so well, Scott's asked us to do a national conference here in October. And he said, even though you're one of the newbies, you guys have done some dynamite, powerful stuff in Greenville County. You do a gala, and you're raising money. You've developed a program for your youth, for your older kids. But I started out as a volunteer. They partnered with Share. The church provides the food, the site, the child care, transportation. Share is the administrative piece. And they were able to get funding for me for part-time, and they provide office space. And then less than a year in, the state loved it so much, they actually got funding to bring me on full-time as the coordinator. But I needed help. The more we go, the more help that I needed. And so they got some money, I think, from the state to get a part-time coach, case manager, who actually works one-on-one with the people. Stella and I had worked together. She compliments me. She has skills and talents that I don't have. I'm not a paper person and a data person and all of that. I'm a public speaker and a volunteer and money getter. And that's what I love doing. And she's walked in my shoes. She's a mother of 5, was single for a while, went back in her 40s and got her degree. And I knew that we could make a powerful team. And with the help of Bruce, our supervisor, we've brought this program a long ways. She's full-time now.
So you have a partner in...
In crime.
In crime, so to speak.
And we love circles. We meet every Wednesday. You are now an ally.
I am.
Awesome. The first group graduated in 20 months instead of 24. We had a gala, gave out certificates. We have, out of that group, the first 20 dropped to 13, and 13 actually completed the program, okay, of the initial 20 women. Some dropped, and some I asked to leave. We have 47 children in the program with those 20 women when we first started. Last year, we opened it up to men, women, couples, but we still only ended up getting women again for this new second group. But out of that first group of circle leaders, we produced 3 entrepreneurs, 1 girl, home health, single parent, been on welfare, Section 8. She just bought a building for her new home health, and she just bought a 5-bedroom home for her and her children. So this program works. This ain't no Band-Aid. One of our other girls has a cleaning business. She's doing great. Another one opened up a commercial cleaning and residential, and she's an entrepreneur. She's doing great. One girl who said she could not work in a man's job. I said, what do you call a man's job? We sent her through a manufacturer training, forklift. That's a man job. I said, you better start thinking like a man because they make all the money. She had 5 kids. Guess what? She's driving a forklift at BMW, and she's loving it. One of our youngest girls was 19 with 1 child when she came in. She's now at TD Bank, and she's had an offer to go to college. And she's going to take, communications in somewhere else. And if she gets into this college, it's a free college, and she'll be able to take her little boy with her. I think he's almost 4 now. So this program works.
And this is a program that any community could do.
Could do, and do it well.
Exactly. But if you're listening from other parts of the country, this is a national organization.
National, yeah.
Circles USA.
Yeah, and go to circlesusa.org, and you can see where all the sites are. But there's 70 chapters in the U.S. and Canada. And if you go to the U.S., circlesusa.org, website, you can see where the chapters are. And your community might want to get a hold of Scott or Jenna, his administrative assistant, and talk to them about a chapter, or go to an informational session, or go to a HOT training. They have trainings all over the country.
This is something any community
can do.
If you have a really strong support group like a church, or
it can be a school, a church, a business, a community center.
Who's willing to provide the facilities and some support.
And some, they have to do, the sites is different than the chapter. Now the chapters are not cheap, but you can find out the information when you call, and he'll let you pay it in payments till it's paid up. And then there's a fee, a yearly fee that each site under the chapter has to pay to National, but we got them to lower it. And you can do grants and stuff to help.
So it's very feasible.
Very feasible.
Very feasible for a community.
Right.
And in fact, you're
community.
Looking at opening two more sites
this year. And one is African American site and another interdenominational site. They're both churches. And so I've spoken to them, explained what they need to have. What you need to have is passion, heart, love for people, want to pay it forward, and give back to your community. And it doesn't matter if you're homeless, have been homeless, if you're recovering, if you're gay. It doesn't matter what your connotation is. We do background checks for people, especially people that are working with our children or our youth. But the churches do that. They already do that. Like Buncombe Street already has a daycare there that they run. So they provide the screening child care. And they were serving meals for 30 years. So it's really worked out in the 4 years. They've been a great partner for us.
So what are some of the things that you've learned along the way? So give us 5 or 6 things that...
Good, bad, or the ugly, or both?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Okay, when you start a new site and you interview your leaders, your potential people to be in the program, you got to go deep with them. You got to get real personal. And you got to ask them a bunch of questions that they may not want to answer. Because we rushed this first group because he wanted to start early and quickly. And we didn't ask the right questions. And of the 30 women that we interviewed and the 20 we selected, some of them weren't ready to be in circles. And some of the ones we selected, I found out after they got in the program a couple of weeks in, I was putting out fires. People, some were homeless, substance abuse problems, domestic violence issues, no jobs. They didn't tell us all this because they wanted to get in the program.
People need to be out of crisis.
Yes.
And ready to advance their lives.
And ready to advance their lives. And so we made it through the grace of God. Those 13 women made it and they graduated and we still work with them. Once you become part of the Circle family, Stella's still working with half of them from the first group. But one of them that was homeless with 4 kids, she's now in AmeriCorps, works for a community college. She's losing weight. Her self-esteem is up through the ceiling. Her and her husband are doing well now. He's doing his own little business. They're thriving. Their kids are thriving. It's beautiful. We had one that was homeschooling her kids. Her older son's getting ready to go to college. All 3 of the kids play instruments by ear. He can play anything. Her ally got him a mandolin and brought it to him, and 2 hours later he was playing it. You know what I'm saying? Those type of things. She has her own commercial residential cleaning service and takes care of a few seniors. We got her a car donated last year. Beautiful car. One of our allies knew somebody who was going to sell it. He said, don't sell that. We got people in our program that can use that car. She went and made a presentation to this big firm about her journey through Circles. And out of that firm, architectural, we were able to get 2 allies, and she got a car.
But let's be clear, this is not a program where it's about giving people money.
Oh, no. We tell the allies, when they come in, it's a 14-week training for the leaders and a 14 for the allies. While the leaders are over here training on Wednesday nights, the allies are over here learning about poverty and culture and all that good stuff. They are like a big brother, big sister. You don't ride them, you don't feed them, you don't give them money. You are there to support them. If their goal is to start a business or go back to school or get a higher paying wage, they encourage. You say you need to get your GED and you've completed the 14 weeks of classes and now we're in week 16 and you ain't even called to see about the GED, free GED classes. Your ally should say to you, what's up with that and why haven't you applied to do that? You haven't had a physical, you need glasses. Because we can get all those resources through our partnerships. Free glasses, free dental clinic, transportation. Maybe you got a job, but you don't get paid for 2 weeks, and you need a gas card. We can do those things through circles, not your ally.
Right. So that it stays a support and mentorship relationship.
Right.
Not one where you're providing
that cash you're enabling
or,
them.
Yeah, or you're enabling
you're
them.
You're enabling them.
And even the circles team does not do that. It's really only the isolated incident where you can help them get over a hump or get through to some next step that they want to take.
And you don't own the ally, and the ally don't own the leader. So one night I was standing at the table talking to an ally who started her own business, doing really well. And she was at the table with her two allies, and they were telling her she needed a graphic designer to help her do her brochures, business cards, and all that. And they called me over to the table and said, Ms. B, you know a graphic designer? And somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, there's one sitting right behind you. I said, can you help her? She said, sure. So within the circle of the circle, this other ally is going to help this young lady. One of our ladies has had a daycare for several years, small one. State said she had to have a fence around her house. Well, guess what? Between the allies and some other volunteers and groups, we were able to raise the money to help her get a fence for her business. Not enabling her, get a fence for her business. And this young lady's self-esteem when she came in was not good. Now you can see her growing and glowing.
Yeah. We've talked about some of the successes, but what were some of the real struggles?
Well, that's what I was telling you. I put out fires with the first group. Because some of them have lived in generational poverty. And then some people are in situational poverty. They lost a job, death in the family, whatever. You can help them and they'll excel. And you don't have to worry. But the ones that for 5 to 6 generations, grandmother, great-grandma, mama, me, and my daughter, we've lived in the projects, been on welfare, food stamps, Section 8. We don't know anything else. So we're hopeless. We don't have any hope that there can be a brighter future. Some of them may have substance abuse issues. If you ain't ready, you ain't ready. And we had some of those that had some issues with weight. So we need to talk about some health and wellness things. What can you do to help yourself there? We found one girl that she had one little boy. Her mother was living with her. She'd been working at McDonald's or somewhere for years. I said, why aren't you in management? Obviously, you're a good employee. You've been there 8 years. What are you making? Oh, no, you ain't. But she, again, did not feel she could move up, kind of like I was with the college thing. So she dropped out of the program, and I guess she went back to McDonald's, Hardee's, or wherever she was working. So she dropped out. I felt really bad. Another girl had 3 kids, had been homeless, living with her mom, who was an alcoholic. They didn't get along. She was working minimum wage part-time at a hospital. We helped this girl get a brand new place because they were building houses. We were able to get some certificates. As a matter of fact, we were able to get 3 home certificates at that time. They had Section 8 certificates for homeless. I was able to get 3 for 3 of our families. She got everything she wanted, and then she dropped out. She said that we weren't doing anything for her, and she didn't want to keep telling us her business. So some of those issues that we should have dug a little deeper with some of the families. So with this new group, we learned from the old group what not to do. They came in for their interview. Then we gave them homework assignments. We didn't accept them after the first interview. If you say you want to start a business, then you needed to find out how to do a business plan, or at least the starting of one. If you didn't have your GED, you needed to check and find out where you could get one. If you say you want to go to Greenville Tech to become a chef or phlebotomist or whatever, we gave you resources to check. And then everybody, because one of the things that happened is one of the girls completed and wanted to start her business, and she couldn't because her credit scores weren't good enough. So we made everybody go to a lady at Community Works. She did a mini budget with them. And if they did not go and make that appointment before they came back for the second interview, that says to me, you're not ready for this program. So we ended up, I think, with this new group with 15 that we selected, and I think we're down to 9. Some of them dropped, and some of them we asked to leave. Well, one. Because if you can't commit and your allies are sitting there on Wednesday night and you don't show up or you don't make an attempt to be there on time, then you're not ready for this program. Because we know that hour and a half on Wednesday nights after we eat dinner and socialize and do announcements, that's not a lot of time for you to do your mat circle with your ally leader. And then some weeks we have speakers. We did a 4-week training with Wells Fargo on financial literacy. And our kids did a 10-week program with Mills Village. They came in for free and worked with our 11 and up on financial literacy. Those kids loved it. They completed. One of our leaders from last year, this is the cutest story. She'd never been able to take her kids like on a vacation or anything. Mother of four. She decided that she wanted to take her children to Myrtle Beach for Christmas weekend. She had gone through the parenting program for 7 or 8 weeks. She said she was a good parent. She didn't need that program. We said, you going to that program. Honey, she loves it. She was so glad she went. She said, I'm using some of their techniques. Stella sat down with her and said, okay, here's how much you need to save to take your kids to Myrtle Beach based on your income. She said, now you ain't gonna be able to go out every night to stuff, the boardwalk and all that stuff in a restaurant. You can go out one night and take the kids out to a nice dinner. And then the other night, you're going to cook. And you're going to cook Christmas dinner. And here's a good place where it has a kitchenette. It's affordable for you and your children to go. So they went down Christmas Eve. Day before Christmas Eve. So she could take the kids out. Christmas Eve, she cooked. Christmas Day, they had dinner. And they came back the day after. And she sent us pictures and how much fun they had. And she said, guess what, Ms. Houston? I came back with a little money. I had some money left. You know, she in the member circles. She would have never been able to experience something like this.
But she did it herself.
And she did it. Because we told her the steps and things that she needed to do to be able to do that. And we supported her in it. You know, I think we gave her a gas card. I know there's a mountain up there, and it's going to take me a little while to get up to the top. And then they got to understand that even when they get to the top, they may fall back down again. We learned so much. I have. I don't know about anybody else these last 4 years of what not to do and things to make things. Like, we didn't do the poverty simulation with the first group till almost toward the end. This year, we did it at the beginning.
And we included the youth.
Yeah, and the kids were involved in it this time.
Yeah.
And
that was powerful.
Yeah, and the financial literacy stuff. That's something that they're going to always need. You can't get enough of budgeting, money management, and learn how to manage their money and how not to spend everything on a moment and how to get their credit scores up. If their ultimate dream is, like some of our ladies were, is to buy a home, or to get a decent car, or maybe even to go back to school, or to help their kids go to college, you got to save some money. You know, you cannot not do these things and not have a little savings. And there could be an emergency. But I want these women to thrive and achieve. And I don't know, I kind of have a little problem with and hesitation with them getting to that 200%. I think for some people,
200% of the poverty.
I don't think some of them are ever going to get there. They may get out of poverty and be able to pay their bills and maybe even be able to go on a vacation. But if you are a family, like the girl that's driving a forklift, that's a family of six. She's making more than she's ever made, but she's still not at 200%.
So it's a single mom
with five kids.
So I think that's a good point for people to understand that in our group, our small group of, you know, nine people, there's a wide variety of where people are in their own financial ability. You know, you may have somebody who's almost out at the 200% poverty level or already beyond. Some who are really, really struggling, don't have a job and don't have a car. So you have that wide range of people that you're working with. So I have a couple more questions for you, and then we'll wrap up because we've been going for a long time.
I'm loving it.
Well, we're loving it too. So one question I have for you, and this is something as I watch you work, I wonder about this. Where in the world do you find all this energy and momentum for this work still at this point in your life?
I call myself the grandma Moses of social work. But, you know, Amy, like I said, when I look back kind of at my history and what I went through as a child and being a single teen parent and welfare, I always said I always wanted to work with people. And my life was kind of messed up for a period when I was drinking and that. But God saved me. And he said to me, and I'm not no religious zealot, and I don't always go to church every Sunday, but I know there's a higher power out there somewhere that is looking over me and wants me to do this. And I'm a believer that when you give, you get. And all the love and support that I got, not so much from my family, it was more from outside people and nurturing than it actually was within. Because like I said, I don't have siblings. My mom's gone. My dad's been dead. I got all this love and people saying in this ear, you can do it, girlfriend. You can do it. You can do it. So I'm not a paper pusher type of person. I'm a visionary. And I love vision. And I'm a dreamer. And I'm an Aquarius. And they say we take chances and we're risk takers and we're people persons.
But, I believe that.
But don't make us angry because you don't want to deal with us.
I believe that.
But I just know that God has put me here for a purpose, you know, for a reason and a season. And as long as I'm breathing, my kids asked me a couple years ago, Mom, when are you going to really retire? I retired like three times. And I said, probably when they put me on the gurney, throw the sheet over me, and rolling me toward the morgue, I'm going to be saying, hold up, God, I got one more person to help. I can't go right now. And so I love life. I'm healthy pretty much for almost 75-year-old female. I just started an organization for my granddaughter.
I was going to ask you about that because you call that your legacy project.
That's my legacy to my granddaughter and this community.
So tell us about your project.
It's called First Impression of South Carolina. It's a one-stop shop. We don't got no money, y'all. Not a dime. I don't even know how we've done it yet. But we have an office. People who are in crisis sometimes get run around in circles. They don't know where to go, who to call. They don't know what to take when they go to get help. They may be eligible for services that they don't even know they're eligible for. Now, let me give you some examples of what First Impression has done. We were open a year. We adopted seven families over Christmas. We had a family of five. We had a girl living in a hotel with a daughter. We got all of those families adopted, thanks to the Circles family and the Bradshaw Institute and Brookwood Church. She said, Grandma, how do we do that? We didn't have any money. I said, it was a God thing, okay? And all of those families, their kids had their Christmas. A young man came to us, and he had just gotten hired at BMW, and we took him back and forth for a while, but that was just, I mean, BMW 20 miles each way for $10, we couldn't do that. So what we did is his dad said if he could get his license, he could get him an old car he had. Willie had some issues with his license. So we were able to raise some money, a couple hundred dollars, and he got his license, he got a car, and now he can take his son. We told him how to get insurance and all that. We had a young man call Ty yesterday. He had a job interview tomorrow, and they told him he must come with dress shoes. He wore a size 12 shoe. We got him shirt, pants, and all that, but we could not find this young man any shoes anywhere. So guess what? One of my board members bought him a pair. So he's going to have his shoes. He's going to go to his interview. And we said, and you're going to get this job, right? And he said, I ain't talked to him. My granddaughter's been working with him. He said, yes, ma'am. We're a benefits bank, so people can come in and sign up. And Benefits Bank through South Carolina Thrive tells you what services you may be eligible for that you're not aware of. Mills Village has contacted us. We're going to be a Mills Village food pickup site.
So that's a nonprofit.
That's a nonprofit that does fresh fruit and vegetables. And 15 pounds for $15. But if you have a food stamp card, you can get them for $5. It won't bring us any money or anything, but it'll bring traffic. And people will be able to have another side of town where they'll be able to pick up their food. We'd like to have an end of the month giveaway of bread and canned goods, because sometimes people run out of that or their stamps. So we're looking into that. We just partnered with the Hispanic church across the street, and the pastor said that his people aren't getting what they need. They're afraid. He said, but Ms. Bullock, if I know you're over there, you or your grand or somebody, and we can send people to you, we'll provide you the interpreters or anything you need to help our people. Then Pastor Dan Westbury, he's the pastor, young pastor of Pentecostal Church right next to the Hispanic church, and I wished I had five of him. He's on our board, and there's nothing that we actually, I think he's the one that bought the shoes for the young man, and he helped us with some of the families, and we had a bazaar over there at his church at Christmas time. A group of doctors called my granddaughter a couple months ago, and they wanted to do a health awareness thing, but it's coming along, and as of, I hope, March, we'll have a house for homeless single women. No children, because they're not big enough right now. But I got the key to the house. The landlord's fixing it up. The women will be assessed and selected. Then we'll get them to share for the ReRapid Permanent Housing Program. Get them signed up. Get them on that wait list. And then they'll be on a 30, 60, 90-day probation period. They will pay a weekly fee, so they have to be working or have a check coming in. And if their goal is to go back to school, get a career, or even come into circles, that would be great. It's called First Impression Transition Place, is the name of the program. But we think if we can get this program up and make it successful this year, then that opens the door to do some serious stuff in the future. I would love to have a house in a year for single parents with one child, because we get a lot of those calls. I'm the chairman of the board right now, and I want her to be the CEO. I want to do a program for minority women for business startups, and then the one-stop shop. But I want her to run First Impression, and I know she can do it. I'm going to be her mentor. I'm going to show her how to do it, who to talk to, how to network, and all that good stuff. And she's starting to open up. She's starting to understand. I said, and you can't help everybody, because she will try. I do what I do, Amy, because my higher power allows me to. And he said that these are the things that he wants me to do to help other people. So I do it. And I've been fortunate to be able to be in good enough health and be able to do, and I'm a doer. You know, I can't just sit and do nothing. So that's what First Impression is about right now.
That's your legacy project.
That's my legacy project.
So one of the things I want to say as we wrap up, because we've covered a lot of territory this
yes,
morning.
We have.
I just want to say it's been a real pleasure for me to get to know you.
Well, thank you.
Through our circles work, I have learned a lot from you, and I have watched you work, and I'm very impressed with the energy that you bring to what you do, the focus that you have for helping other people. I'm impressed with your legacy project that you're starting, that you still have a passion and an energy for this, and that you want to mentor your granddaughter to be able to carry this on. So I wish you the very best venture, and I know you will be successful.
Thank you.
I have no doubt.
Thank you. And I feel honored to know you, to be working with you, and to call you my friend, my new friend. And as long as God gives me breath, we're going to be working together and helping each other. And just thank you so much for this.
Well, that's
and
great.
All you do.
Thank you.
This has been State of Inclusion, and we'll be back again next week with another episode of Equity Warriors.